oil. Check one, test one. Let's have all the choir come on and get up. The choir will start the service in about 2 minutes.
Can roll your heavy stones. You to take a hymnal right there in front of you. Turn to number 150. Let's stand together and sing He Lives. Everybody, join us as we sing. Number 150.
Glad to be able to say that we serve a risen Savior.
Yes, sir.
He's not in a grave with a name on a stone. Didn't even have time to make a gravestone for him. He didn't stay there long enough. I said, "Preacher, why do you think it is that he was buried in a borrowed tomb? Because he wasn't planning on staying very long. I wouldn't buy something I wasn't planning on using." Amen? He wasn't planning on using it. 3 days later, up from the grave, he arose. And here we are on a beautiful Easter Sunday morning. I'm telling you, he couldn't have ordered it more perfectly. God has blessed us with a great day, a good crowd of folks and visitors with us. I'm glad to have literally, except they called Andrew into work this morning. I'd have every member of my immediate family here today. And he did not look too joyous. I said, "Happy Easter." preacher, and he grumbled something. I'm not sure I'd even want to know what he said. But anyway, he had to go to work this morning. I hate that. But I'm so glad to have my family here. And we're glad to have all of you at the service. We're live streaming the service today. And so I hope that it'll be a blessing to someone that's watching. All right, we're going to go to the Lord in prayer and ask God's blessing on the service. Then when we're through, you may be seated. And the choir has two numbers they're going to sing before they come down. All right, so let's go to the Lord in prayer. Ask God's blessing on the service. Brother John Tyndall, you before speak.
Right.
Enjoy it. All right, well, let's stand. We've got a lot of visitors among us today. We're going to give the choir a chance to come down. Thank you all for being here. Let's stand. Give each other a time to greet each other.
For the good singing this morning, and thank you for being here in the service today. Normally at this time I would recognize the visitors, but we've got so many and I'd be afraid I'd miss names because I'm bad about that. Certainly, we're glad that you're here, and I know some of Kenny and Susan's families here, the Connollys, I remember the last name. Glad to see them here. And then Steve and Gail have two of their grandchildren with them. You don't have all three? Just two. Is that all you can take, Grandma? She's got the two grandgirls here with her. Two of them, they have a brand new baby grandson. Boy, right? And he's with Mom and Dad up in Greenville. And then good to have Miss Connors here with us, and I guess Miss had to leave, didn't he? Here, Miss, yeah, had to leave. We're glad that you're here. Good to have Juan and his wife. I love Juan. Juan's a mailman, and so whenever I have trouble with the government, I call Juan, and he says, and he always gives. I mean, he gives me the same sage advice every time. What do you want me to do? We love Juan. I was hoping Kenny and them could get here. I so love Kenny, too. I'm so glad to see Juan and his wife here. This is Travis now. Just even thank her. And good to have the Shaws back. They've been in Missouri for a couple of weeks, and good to have them back with us. And what, 1 week just seemed like two? So we're glad to have them, and then good to have James and his family here with us, and then my family, Emily, her sister, and Chad. Stand up back there, Chad. Some of you were not here Wednesday night. Chad was here last Sunday night, and after the service, Chad gave his heart to the Lord, and this is his mother, Deanna, and then he right back here. He's here yesterday working in the yard, and here today. He made his profession public Wednesday night. He's a member of our church by baptism, and so you that did not get to meet him so Wednesday night, be sure and take his hand, tell you you're glad to have him in our church family. Thank you, Dad. He's 32 years old. I'm glad the Lord saved
him. God bless you, Dad.
Thank you. All right. Well, real quickly now, before Brian comes, we have the Easter lilies here, and as you know, we sell them to you to put in honor or memory of someone. We have 9 left as of right now, and so they're $12.50, and that's what we paid for them. We don't make any money off of them. And so if you'd like to have one at the end of the service, if you'll just come and see us, Miss Edame, and we'd be glad for you to take one home with you. Now, we don't have service tonight, so if service concludes, if you bought one, be sure and take it with you, okay? Because we don't want to leave it here till Wednesday. You don't have to. Now, if you can't take it home, well, we'll take care of you. But anyhow, I want you to remember that. So let me just mention the ones who did, in fact, place them in honor or memory of someone. We have one placed in memory of Edame Hale's parents, Mr. Johnny and Thelma McCall. One in memory of Ralph Hale's parents, Mr. Alton B. and Bessie Lee Hale. One in memory of Sabine and Joaquin's, let's see, what is this? Sabine Joaquin's father. Okay, this is Sabine's father. How Joaquin, I know Brelner is not any relation to Joaquin Mercado. This is Sabine's father over in Germany, Hermann Grellner. One in memory of Bill Chalmers from Joaquin Mercado. One in memory of Melvin and Candy Wright's mothers, Sister Eva Wright and Sister Mona Moreno. Hope I'm saying that right, Miss Candy. Say that right. What's her first name? Sorry. Monica. Okay. I'm sorry. There's a C missing here, but that's all right. Huh? I'm glad you admitted to that, Melvin, so get me off the hook. Oh. One in memory of Ramona Huddleston's father and mother, Juan and Catalina Huddleston. In memory of Leslie Thompson's husband, the Carl Thompson. And I thought about Carl yesterday, Les. I sure did. Carl, he'd been so long in heaven now. I thought about him yesterday. One in memory of Pastor Charles and Francis Rice from the adult Bible class. One in memory of Marvin McCullough from the adult Bible class. One in honor of Mrs. Judy Kirchinger from the adult Bible class. One in honor of me, Pastor Kirchinger from the adult Bible class. Thank you for that. Those are the ones that have been placed in honor or memory of someone. As I said, we still have 9 left. We'd like to have one. If you want to get one and still have it read out, I'll do it Wednesday night. If you'll go see Ms. Edame, the flower, write out who it's in honor or memory of. And I'll read the extra ones Wednesday night. If you just get one, take it home with you after service. Okay? All right, Brian, come on ahead.
1 Corinthians 15, Paul lays out the gospel of Christ and speaks about how the resurrection is true. It says at the end, because the resurrection is true, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know your labor is not in vain. You have a lot of opportunities in the coming weeks to prove that verse out, to make your work abound in the Lord. There's no evening service, of course, coming up tonight. So I'll have to worry about that. Wednesday service, of course, will be a regular time. It's 1 o'clock here at church. On Thursday evening is the Ladies Jubilee Planning Meeting. We'll have another one right up from what we had last week. 6:30 this Thursday. That's April 5th for prayer and planning on the Ladies Jubilee coming up at the beginning of June, right? Is when the Ladies Jubilee is. Got a lot of work between now and then. Also Thursday, the first Thursday of the month. So the service at Waterford will be this coming Thursday. For the ladies that aren't, for those of you who aren't involved in the ladies meeting Thursday, you can make your way to the Waterford at 7 o'clock. See the pastor or my dad if you have any questions about that. That's coming Thursday at 7 o'clock at the Waterford. And Saturday for our men, first Saturday of the month of April, it'll be our sewing Saturday. We'll get out. We'll meet here at 10 o'clock in the morning. We need all the men involved. Go out and knock on doors. Tell people about the truth of the gospel, the truth of this resurrection we're celebrating this morning. So all you men, make your way out at 10 o'clock Saturday morning for that.
Well, I guess since we don't have a church, we won't have choir practice. Choir, you got the day at note. Joaquin, you got to come. Though. All right. Well, we've got a lot of special music today, so we're going to hear a trio before we have our offering. Anchor.
It was the third day since Jesus died, and it was said he would arise from the grave. This lamb came forth. Oh, I have reason to rejoice. He chose the place, he chose the hour, that he would rise by his own power, a sacrifice 3 days ago. And now, praise God, the Lamb arose. There rose a Lamb, he Jerusalem. He was the Son of the great I Am. He proved arose the Lamb in Jerusalem. I wasn't there when Jesus died. I wasn't there to see Him rise, but I was there when He saved my soul. Oh, within my heart, this Lamb arose. There rose a Lamb in Jerusalem. He was the Son of the Great I Am. He proved to be my victory. Jerusalem, in Jerusalem, He arose, He arose, He arose, hallelujah, Christ arose, He arose, He arose, hallelujah. Christ arose, He proved to be my victory. There rose a Lamb in Jerusalem.
Glad there arose a Lamb in Jerusalem. Well, let's have the ushers to come on ahead. We got to take care of a little business here. Got to take up some money. If you have it, we'll take it. Oh, we want you to give us unto the Lord. We appreciate how folks have been giving. I do want to remind you, be sure and see Shelton this morning if you've given out tracts this week. We've already surpassed our goal for March and working on getting January rolled in. We started February 1st. Our goal is 11,000 gospel tracts this year. And we start in February, so that's why 11, but we've already surpassed February and March's goal. And so we're really, as we do that, we'll just add on February or January. So our goal now is 12,000. That's 1,000 a month. 12,000 gospel tracts given out to someone in the year of 2018. And we're already well over our goal so far. And I want you to continue, but he needs to know if it's 1 or 100, however many you've given out this week. Be sure and see Brother Shelton. Let him know so he can keep that running total. Where are we at right now? Shelton, got an idea? Just off the top of your head. About 2,400 so far. And so we're definitely well on our way to covering January as well. So now here it is April 1st. It's starting a new month. And so I hope that you'll get some tracts. They're on the table in the vestibule. They're on the top, on top. And underneath, you need to just get some. Be sure, though, especially the young folks. I know you like those tracts, but if you're going to get them, give them away. Don't get them and take them home. Put them in your drawer somewhere because they can't get used in a drawer. Make sure if you get them that you give them out to somebody this week. Okay? All right. Heads are bowed then and eyes are closed. Father, we love you, and what a joy, what a joy, what a joy. This is my favorite Sunday of the year. I love Christmas, and I love every Sunday, but something about Resurrection Sunday, Lord, that just helps me, because I know that because He lives, I too shall live. I do not serve a dead God. He's alive forevermore. He's seated at the right hand of the Father. For me, as a Christian, He is my mediator. For those here that are lost without Christ, He's their advocate. He's their defense lawyer. He's the one who presents the case that His blood covers a multitude of sins. So Lord, I pray this morning for the offering that You'll bless the gift and the giver. But even more than that, Father, if we didn't take up a dime today at all, someone walked the aisle and trusted Christ like Chad did last Sunday night. And Father, that'll be worth every dollar we spend to open and keep open Anchor Baptist Church. Father, I pray that You'll save sinners, reclaim the transgressor, bless the saint on this wonderful Resurrection Sunday. We'll thank You and praise You for all You do in Jesus' name. Amen.
gospel song there with all the message. And well, before Pastor comes this morning, we have the Blessed Trio coming.
We knew he was dead. It is finished, he said. And we watched as his life ebbed away.
Then we all stood around till the guards took him down. Joseph begged for his body on that day.
It was late afternoon when we got to the tomb, wrapped his body and sealed up the grave.
So I know how you feel. His death was so real. But please listen and hear what I say. I've just
it was his voice she first heard, those kind, gentle words, asking what was the reason for tears.
And I sobbed in despair, my Lord is not there.
He said, child, it is I am here.
Jesus, our prayer.
Okay, thanks, Rick. Well, if you've seen Jesus, hopefully you've seen him in the service today, but get your Bibles ready. Listen now as the pastor comes to see him more.
Thank you, Brother Dillon. What a song. I'm glad what I did doesn't matter anymore. 41 years ago, I saw Jesus in my heart. I've seen him in my life. Physics has been active 41 years. You don't know the Lord Jesus, maybe a day. Resurrection Sunday comes in your heart. Matthew chapter 28, I'm not preaching from the chapter, but I'd like all to read a portion of Scripture on this day. Matthew chapter 28. Page 1043 of a Scofield Bible. Verse number 1, the Bible said in the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to the sepulchre. And behold, there was a great earthquake. The angel of the Lord descended from heaven, came and rolled the stone from the door, sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning, and his raiment his clothes. And for fear of him, the keeper did shake, and became as dead men. The angel answered and said unto the women, fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come, see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. Kind of goes along with the song they just sang. There he shall. I want to stop reading right there, and I want you to turn to Luke chapter 24. Chapter 24, page 1112, in your Scofield Bible, and then I want you to hold your place there and turn to John chapter 20, the Gospel of John, chapter number 20, and I'll be using John 20 as the text. I want to preach a little while on this subject, and by the way, I've told you this before, I never discuss my messages with anybody, really. I mean, as far as lining up special choir song, things like that, but I want to preach a little while on this thought. They saw the Lord. They saw the Lord. Luke chapter number 24, beginning in verse number 36. The Bible said, and as they thus spake, these are his disciples meeting after his burial, after his resurrection, the upper room. Now, they have not seen him yet. They know something of what happened, but obviously, because of their little faith, they didn't want to believe at all. So now they're meeting together. They're meeting to decide, what do we do now? What's next? We heard him say, it's finished. Then he died. We watched as they buried him. And so, what's next? What do we do now? The Bible said, while they spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and saith unto them, peace still. But they were terrified and affrighted, and supposed that they had seen a spirit. I want you to catch something right here, and that is the Jesus that they are seeing here is the same Jesus that died on the cross, but his body is different. He didn't look different. He didn't act different. But the body that was placed in the tomb was a human body that suffered torture and pain for us. If you'll remember just a few weeks before his crucifixion, Peter and James and John had the privilege of being on the mountain with Jesus when Moses and Elijah showed up. And there they watched as Jesus' body, his body, his presence was being transfigured, meaning that the human body would suffer. That's not the body he had when he came out of that grave. That is a perfect picture, by the way, of what happens to you and I when we get saved. We have to live either until the grave or until the rapture of the church in this physical human body that hurts and creeps and groans and needs doctors and all kinds of help. That's not the body we're going to have, thank God, when we get to the other side. The Bible declares that we will receive a brand new body. The Bible said, fashioned, made like his glorious body. It's also the reason why, as you read in the Gospels, that when Mary met Jesus in the garden and thought that he was the gardener, and Jesus' words to her were, don't touch me, because the body that he was now in could not be corrupted by human touch. That's the body that these disciples are seeing in Luke chapter 24. They were terrified and affrighted, suppose they'd seen a spirit. And he said unto them, why are ye troubled? What are you afraid of? What are you afraid of? And why do thoughts arise in your hearts? We're reading what they said, but only Jesus knew what they were thinking. And he said, behold, my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. He still had and still has the nail prints his hand. He's had that and he still has the nail prints on his feet. He had and still has the wound in his side. He had and still has the scars of the crown of thorns that were placed, jammed upon his brow. All of those scars, all they do is remind those that are in heaven now and will remind us when we get there of the promise that the angel made to the disciples in Acts chapter 1. And he said, "Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye here gazing into heaven? This same Jesus that you see go away shall so come in like manner as you've seen him go away. The day that I die and open my eyes to see Jesus, I'll see the same Christ that the disciples saw in Luke chapter 24. If the rapture takes place today, and by the way it could, Easter Sunday, Resurrection Sunday would be a good day to go to heaven. And when that happens, and the Bible said, we shall see him, or we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." I want you to turn to John 20 and let me give you the thoughts this morning. Now, we don't have service tonight. I'll try not to keep you long, but you know, you ought to give me time to get two in one. Notice my family's laughing hard about that because I get grief from them all the time. John chapter 20, page 1143 in your Scofield Bible. John chapter 20 and verse number 19. I'll turn the page over. Page 1144. Bible said, "Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week," this is the evening of his resurrection, "when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled, for fear of the Jews." In other words, they were locked in this room. One scripture says the doors and windows being locked. They were afraid that the Jews, when Jesus came in Luke 24 and said, what troubles you? That's what was troubling them. They figured, well, if our Savior, the one that we have put ourselves on the line for, has died and been buried, and the ladies have told us he resurrected, but no, that would be an unusual thing for anybody to believe in real life. And so they're afraid that now the Jews have killed Jesus, they're next on the list. Yet the Bible said here that they were in this room with the doors and windows being shut and locked. So when I read this story, now certainly I have nothing to reference it in real life. How many of you remember the old Superman series? There were episodes on the old Superman where he would be able to walk through, not crash through, but to walk through a cement wall. And of course the camera would show that faint figure of Superman. And it was all done with cameras, and this back in the 50s and early 60s, so I mean, you can imagine what they could do now. It was all done with trickery and photography. And then sure enough, on the other side would come out Superman. I'm talking about somebody far greater than Superman. What happened here is not done with trick photography. It was not done with Hollywood antics. The Bible said while they were in that room, doors and windows being locked and shut, next phrase is this: came Jesus and stood in the midst. Yes, he has the ability to recreate his own atomic makeup so that he could, in fact, walk through a wall, pass through a door, slide through a roof, show up in a bodily form. That's not science fiction. That's Bible. That's Bible. Now you say, well, preacher, I'm not sure I believe the Bible. Then you're not going to believe anything I've got to say. You know, since I've been saved, I don't have any trouble believing this. Since God came into my heart and I realized what he could do, I don't have any trouble with this. I'd love to see it for myself. But just like Wendy Bagwell, when he saw the snake in the church, they got a back door. Said they said no. Said, where you reckon they want one? It'd be the same way if suddenly I looked over here and through the wall, not through the door, but through the wall, walked Jesus. He'd either be at the altar or at the door, or taking a new one. Amen right there. Because you and I have never experienced anything like that. This is the Word of God. This is truth. This is not something that John made up to tell a really good story. You know why? Because he was there. Peter was there. James was there. John was there. Andrew was there. Philip was there. We were there. We all know the most important aspect of any criminal trial is the eye. Someone who can say, I saw it with my own eyes. Bible said in verse 20, when he had so said, peace unto you, he showed unto them his hands and his side, and were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. When the rapture takes place, a moment, the twinkling of an eye. Or death happens, and the Bible said to be absent from the body, to be present with the Lord. It'll all happen so quickly that when we do open our eyes on the other side, it perhaps might be a little overwhelming. But when the first person we lay eyes on is not mother or dad or grandma or grandpa, but it's Jesus, and he's got his arms out showing us the prints in his hands, suddenly we'll know it's him. That's why Peter's not going to be at the gate. Peter doesn't have any nail prints. John doesn't have any nail prints. Joseph Smith doesn't have any nail prints. The Pope doesn't have any nail prints. I don't have any nail prints. I'm not trusting in anybody but the one who has prints. They saw the Lord. In Acts chapter 1, Jesus showed himself live. The Bible said at one point up to 500 witnesses. He showed himself to Mary Magdalene in Mark chapter 16 and here in chapter 20. In Mark 28, he showed himself to the other women who visited the tomb. That was Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome. In Luke 24 and 1 Corinthians 15, Peter said that he saw him, that he showed himself to Peter privately. In Luke 24, we read about Jesus on the road to Emmaus. He appeared to Cleopas and his companion, and they walked to Emmaus while he spoke about the Scriptures. We picture the scene. It's the evening of Christ's resurrection. Disciples are gathered together. Peter tells them he's seen the Lord. And then all of a sudden, they get a telegram from Cleopas, from Emmaus, that said, hey, we saw the Lord too. And suddenly, Jesus himself appeared. And where is he? He's not on the periphery, eyeballing them to see what they're going to think. He's not in the background. The Bible said when he showed up, he was in their midst. That's exactly where Jesus belongs in our life today. Not on the outside looking in, but he belongs right smack dab in the middle of our lives. The disciples thought they were seeing a spirit, but Jesus proved that he was not a ghost. Because number one, he showed them the nail prints. And you'll remember in one place, he even offered Thomas the opportunity to touch prints. And listen, that wound in his side was such a gaping wound, and he said, thrust your hand into my side. Of course, Thomas didn't have to do that, did he? As soon as Jesus said, Thomas, he recognized the voice, because the Bible said, my sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me. Then not only that, but the Bible goes on here in the text to say, he ate fish and honey. Ghost doesn't eat food. A living person does. So a preacher, if you said he's got a glorified body, then why does he have to eat? Well, I don't know, but the Bible says when we get to heaven, that when we get there, the first thing we're going to enjoy is the marriage supper of the Lamb. I don't know about you, but supper means eat to me. I don't go to the restaurant to look at the menu and say, well, I'm full, I'm going home now. The Bible said when we get there, and that he's going to serve us. Can you imagine? Every time you want to pass the Sister Schubert, the Lord himself, with that nail-scarred hand, will hold the bread and say, help yourself. You won't be able to take a bite or say, whoa, that's him. You'll recognize the face. I believe we'll recognize the face. Certainly recognize. I want to look quickly, if you'll stay with me for a few minutes, from five things we learn from the appearance of Christ in the upper room. Number one, we learn of the condition of Christ's coming. The conditions of Christ's coming. He came and the disciples were unprepared, fearful, and doubtful. Let me say to you, friend, if you're not sure where life's taking you, if you cannot answer this question, if you die today or Jesus were to come, do you know where you'd go? You cannot say for sure, 100% heaven, according to 1 John 5 and 17. Friend, you're just like the disciples, fearful, doubtful. You're not sure. That's always when Jesus will show up and you don't know what to do. I'll tell you, he's always on time. He came when they forgot his promise that they would see him again. On several occasions, he told them, I'm going to die, but don't worry, I'm coming back. So many people today claim, and maybe they are, but a lot of time not. They claim to be Christians, but they're really not looking for his coming. Because if you're looking for it, listen, if you were sitting in your vehicle in a dark parking lot, and you knew that at 5 minutes after 10, a policeman would come by, you'd make sure whatever you were doing at 5 minutes after 10 wouldn't get you in trouble. And yet so many of God's people and those who claim to be live their life. They say they believe he's coming, but they live as though, not today. But Jesus said, watch therefore, for in an hour which ye think not, Son of Man. They weren't looking for Jesus in the upper room. That's the best time for him to show up. He came when they were assembled together. One thing about these disciples, they at least stuck together. You know what's wrong with the church today? We don't stick together anymore. We get together, we stick together until something doesn't go our way, and we go somewhere else. We treat Christianity like free agency. I'm going to go where I get the most instead of staying where I'm appreciated and where I start. Listen, if you're a born-again Christian, stay with God. Appreciate what He's done. Don't walk away. He came while some testified of seeing Him. Well, Peter was talking about, I saw Him. Cleopas sent a letter and said, I saw Him. And all of a sudden, Jesus shows up so they all can see Him. A good time. You know what I think was going on? They was having a testimony meet. What we lack in the Baptist church, a good old-fashioned testimony meet. Because when you say, anybody got a testimony, you got to wait 30 minutes to listen to the crickets while folks try to figure out if I got anything good to say. Hey, if you're saved, you got something good to say. Does Jesus have to do something miraculous for you to testify of Him? You see the condition of Christ coming. And remember, this is all after He is risen. This doesn't sound like a resurrection message. Well, sure it does. Talking about a living person doing some things that couldn't be doing all this if He was still dead. We see the conditions of Christ coming in that room. I want you to notice also the centrality of Christ. In John chapter 20, look at verse number 19. I read it a moment ago, but it says that when they came at evening, the first day of the week, doors were shut, the disciples were assembled, that Jesus stood in midst. He stood in the midst. That's where He belongs. He belongs as the center of your life. He belongs as the center of your family. He should be the center of your career. He ought to be the center of how you raise your children and your grandchildren. He deserves to be in the middle. And the tabernacle, which is a type of Christ in the Old Testament, was placed wherever the Israelites traveled. What did they do? They always pitched the tabernacle first. And then by tribe and lot, they would pitch their tents in order around the tabernacle. So no matter what they were going in or going out, the first thing they saw or walked into was the church. We've gotten too big for what many would call a community church. I'm not talking about we anchor, but I'm talking about just public in general. But here's the problem. Many of these public or community churches don't preach anything. They just want to be a club or a central place where people can go and have club meetings and civitan meetings and the moose and the elk and all of that. I'm not against Boy Scouts. We didn't start Anchor Baptist Church so the Boy Scouts could meet here. We started this church so sinners could get saved and saints could get fed. It was in the midst. Jesus walks in Revelation chapter 1. You remember when John saw the seven candlesticks. We know that the seven candlesticks of Revelation 1 are the seven churches of Asia Minor that all sort of represented the church age that we live in now. And John said, I saw the seven candlesticks. And if you read, I believe verse 14 or 15, somewhere there, he said, and I, John, saw in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of God. You see, friend, that's where He belongs. Anchor Baptist Church will be nothing more than what it is right now if Jesus is not in the middle. If we don't put Him first in everything, thank God, man, the choir did a great job. The trios do a good job. We've got some of the best Sunday school teachers in town. But all of that means nothing if Jesus is not number one. If we're here to impress, we're going to lose. If we're here just to see what we can put on this property and have what we can have, we lose. We'll build a work upon Jesus Christ. He said to Peter, upon this rock Himself. I'm talking about Peter. Peter was a little stone. Jesus is the chief cornerstone. And He said, upon this rock I'll build My church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. The Bible says that if we build a church without God, we labor in vain that build it. Jesus died and walks not only in the midst of our church. He died in the midst of sinners. You read the crucifixion story, and where was He? Placed by Himself. Hey, just because of who He was, He should have maybe at least been crucified in a special place. But no! They crucified Him, the Bible said, between two malefactors. You know what that word means? It means a social castaways. They didn't see Him any better than two old dirty rotten thieves. One said, get out from here and get us down if you're who you say you are. And the other one spoke up and said, you be quiet. He said, we're getting what we deserve. And with every last ounce of strength He had being crucified like Christ was, He said, Lord, remember comest into thy kingdom. And here is the many times beaten and whipped and tortured and thou crucified Son of God who could barely breathe himself, took the time to push up on those nails and look at that thief and say, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. I'm glad that, listen, the Pharisees always busted Jesus for eating with sinners. Boy, I'm glad he did. I'm glad he still does. Walks in the midst of our church. He died in the midst of sinners. He sat in the midst of the doctors and lawyers. Remember when his parents couldn't find him? He's 12 years old. We were 3 days away. All of a sudden realized he wasn't there. You know, in today's, you know what happened today? Social service would have took him. They started asking around, said, well, we don't know where he's at. He figured he's with you. So they went back where they started, back to the synagogue, and there he was at 12 years old, sitting in the midst of doctors and lawyers, answering their questions. They all sat there like this. The Bible said, one of them spoke up and said, how can this boy know all this? Because he's not just a boy. He was 12, but he was on his mother's side. He was 12. But his father's side, he is the Alpha and Omega. See, it makes a difference which side you're talking about. I want you to, let's move on. He promises to be in the midst of our fellowship. I read in Daniel chapter 3, those Hebrew boys were in the fire. Guess where Jesus was? Right in the midst. I'm glad he'll be right in the middle of your trials and tribulation. No matter what comes your way, you can see the Lord because he's alive. And I want to go on number 3 quickly. Verse 21 of our text, we see the conferring of Christ's peace. They were afraid and they saw the Lord. They got glad. Then he said, peace unto you, as my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. Peace is not based on outside circumstance. It's based upon an inside Christ. It said, my peace have I unto you. Not the peace that the world gives. Peace is from Christ. John 16, 33, these have I spoken unto you. In me ye might have. It calmed their fear. Here it says, when they finally realized who he was, they were glad. The Bible said in John 14, 27, peace I leave you, my peace give I unto you. How does the world give it by unto you? But not, let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. It calmed their fears. It canceled their guilt. And Jesus said, peace unto you. That meant that Jesus was not thinking one thing about what they were. It's like they sang this morning about how that my past no longer calmed their fears. It canceled their guilt. Cleared their doubt. Look at verse 20. Well, I've read it already. It said then that those were glad. We find the conditions of Christ's coming. Centrality of Christ's place. Conferring Christ's peace. And I'll be through. Composition of Christ's body. I mentioned it a moment ago. His resurrection body was not the same one they killed. Because the body he's in now will never touched by human hands or anything else reverent. The first time they killed him, the second time they're going to bow down to him. First time they cursed him, the next time he comes, they're going to cry, Lord. Oh yeah, it's going to be different when he comes the next time. Philippians 3 and verse 20-21 says this, our conversation is in heaven, from whence we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto glory. I'm glad when we go to heaven, we don't have to take this one. I'm telling you right now, I'd hate to know that I had to spend, you know, I'd be glad I wasn't in hell, but I'm not so sure that wouldn't be part of it, me having to go to eternity in heaven with this, because I'm going to get a body. Listen, said, we're going to have marriage supper. We're going to eat the fruit. I'm telling you, praise God. Old Tony Hudson said, every verse in the Bible that's about fat was a good thing. It doesn't talk about your soul being that young. It doesn't mean that's a good thing. Just remember, we get to heaven, we'll think we are now. Count calories. Don't have to go to the gym. Don't have to watch somebody on TV exercise and go, well, I always thought that would help. At least I watch. Oh, give me the mental and emotional exercise. Think about this composition. It's tangible flesh and bone, but no blood. He just didn't have any blood in this body. He didn't have to have. He did have flesh and bone. It was a, by the way, did you notice what Jesus was saying? He was eating meat. Thank God no vegetarians in heaven. Hallelujah. If that offends you, I'm sorry. But I've been a card-carrying member of PETA for a long time. I mean, perfectly enjoyed these animals. Amen right there. Not only was his body tangible, it was supernatural, as you saw. He didn't just walk in the door. He didn't knock. He didn't even kick the door in. And by the way, he could have done that. He was God. He could have done that. But instead, he just walked through the wall. Now, we talk like, well, remember, we're talking with a God who with all things possible. He was supernatural, not limited by natural law. He passed through solid objects, walls, doors, homes. Grave clothes. Remember when they went into the tomb and his grave clothes were still laying there where he was, but he wasn't in them, and they did not move. Only thing that moved was the napkin that they had over it. In case you didn't know this, Bible times, when you got up from the table, if you put your napkin back on the table, that meant you were done. That was it. If you folded it up and put it over to the side, that meant you were coming back for more. And where was the napkin found when they went into the tomb? It wasn't laying with the grave clothes. It was folded neatly over here.
Guess what? He's not done! The best is yet to come! He's coming back!
He left us his calling card. Amen. It was also a spiritual body, able to disappear and reappear. Listen, here, think about this. Where was he in the time that he was in the tomb, 3 days a night? The Bible said, first was in heaven, being his blood on the mercy. It also said that he spent that baptized in the belly of, you know what that is? That's hell. And you know what he was doing down there? He was letting Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and Adam, and all the rest of that crowd know, we win! You don't have to stay here. Because it says he led. And now he's in this upper room, very eating of his resurrection. Like he can travel far and bad. And you and I are going to be just like him. I don't know what that means. I know there's going to be heaven where God is. There's going to be the new for the city. That's where our mansions are going to be. And then the earth is going to be made new. So we'll get to go wherever we want to go. We won't have to buy a ticket. We won't have to do standby. Amen. We'll have to call a cab. Thank God we don't have to walk. Looks to me like we can just go where we want to go. There we are. Yeah. Don't even need enterprise or body. Amen. That body was incorrupt. Corruptible, and it was. Let me change that. Is corruptible, and he will never die because he lives. I can face tomorrow because he lives. All fear is gone because I know. Hallelujah. Let me close with this. There's an actor. I've never heard of the man myself. I was going to kind of look it up, Wikipedia and all that, but I didn't have time to. I found this illustration kind of late, and so I'm giving you this as though I've confirmed it, you know, like it was a reputable. I found this, but there was an actor named Charles Dutton. I've never heard of it. Anyway, this is the story that's told, and if I find out it's wrong, I'll tell you. This actor named Charles Dutton was convicted of manslaughter and was sent to prison for 7 years. And he got out of prison, of course, came to get him to Tim Lou, and the warden, when they got to the cell, noticed that he did nothing. There's nothing personal. I guess they allow him to, you know, have pictures. Of course, today's a lot of things do. Anyway, there was nothing. The walls were as bare as the day he walked in. There was no, you know, he didn't on the wall. He didn't count the days on the wall. Nothing. And the warden asked Charles Dutton, said, Mr. Dutton, you've been here all this time, every minute of your time, and you've done nothing. No. Why is it? I knew I was going to get out. I just wouldn't. Why get comfortable enough? I'm not going to. This world is not my home. I'm just a passenger. My treasures are laid up somewhere. God, why in the world would you? I'm not saying you decorate this. I know. We all like to decorate and have them. Listen, don't get too attentive. When the rapture comes, it's all staying. You won't need a boot hook or anything else. You get to heaven, you won't say, here's a picture of your old man. Thank God my dad will be living down the street. Amen! Won't need to be reminded of my loved ones for the Lord, because we'll all be together. We'll never, ever. It all is based on what celebrates resurrection. With all the miracles of resurrection that we read in Scripture, it was always done by God, who's one, or someone else. Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead. He said it, but it was directed. Elisha, remember, threw that soldier's body in the grave of Elisha, and when it touched the bones of Elisha, it came back to life. That was God raising that soldier through bones of Elisha, widow of Nain. They were carrying him out to bury him when Jesus just happened to walk by. Well, not just happened, just happened. He showed up and raised that boy from the dead. That was doing that, directed at that boy. This one is different because Jesus did it, but he did it himself. Now, it's one thing if somebody raises the dead to someone else. It's another thing entirely them to raise themselves from the dead. Tells you, for one, they have the power, and number two, they must have been alive or on them. Jesus' body died on the cross, but himself is sent. And it's that spirit and body now at his right hand and body. If you do not know Christ, they, you know, they have some knowledge of what I'm talking about. But when they sing to the light, my past will not be remembered. And I tell you, I got a lot of messages. If you don't get saved, you're going to be brought up at the great white throne of judgment. The Bible said at the judgment seat of Christ for the Christian also has books will be opened. Guess what? Another book will be opened. And when your name is in the book of life, what's in all those other books? Right now. Oh, Lord, what about Rick Kirchner? What about all that? What are you talking about? I don't see anything on that page. It's blank. What about page 12? You know, it's all blank. I don't see anything. And then the greatest question of all time will be asked. Does his name appear in the book of life? And Jesus will answer, yes! All God will have to hear, he'll say, turn to the boy of my salvation. Pretty simple to me. And quit making it so tough. Try to figure out and get it worked on your own schedule. It's your faith in Jesus. Get saved. And live for him till he comes. And when it's over, we get to be with him and love him. And man, what a day that's going to be. It's because of what he did over 1,000. Holy Father, we love you. I thank you for the attention of the folks today. Had a lot going on today, but all of it, Lord, I trust all of it. Expected that faith, choir, music.
Fired a wonderful job today. Those songs were not done so that someone can say, what a good choir that is. Lord, I hope they can say, boy, they really honored you. That music trio's wonderful job, and can talk about, how good they are and how they could be professional, but that's not what it's all about. I'm sure if you talk to those trio members, they'd say, what we want is for somebody to say they honored Jesus. I'm not up here to be noticed or seen. I'm not here to be famous. I'm a nobody. I don't care to be compared to anyone. I just want Jesus to look out over heaven and say, well done! Good and faithful servant. You preached the word of God. You gave them the message. That's all I care about. Now, Lord, comes the most important part, other than the preaching, of this entire exercise. And that is the invitation, where people are invited, not forced, not begged, not cajoled, but invited to come to an old-fashioned altar and say, Lord, forgive me of my sins. Come into my heart and save me. Or maybe there's one here who's saved, but they've been away from God. And they would come and say, Lord, here I am, and I have failed you miserably. And I want to get right with God, and I want to serve Him and love Him and honor Him with my life, with all that I possess the rest of my days. There may be one here who's born again, but they have loved ones or friends who are lost without Christ. May they come and cry out to God and say, Lord, go to that person or that family or whoever. Convict them of their sin and let them know they need you. I believe in intercessory prayer. Lord, I know there are lost people in this room right now. So I'm asking you through the power and convicting power of the Holy Ghost to go to that heart and touch them and say, you need to get saved. You need to get saved. Won't you come and get saved? Stop putting it off and stop making excuses. Get saved. And it'll be a change in their life they will never, for all eternity, they'll never regret. But now the choice is theirs to make. Will they accept the invitation or decline it? That choice is totally up to them. I've done all I'm supposed to do. Please, Lord, save somebody today. In Jesus' name. Amen. We're standing together.